2 Samuel chapter 12. In a very simple way, I want to bring to your attention sickness in old age. You will see as we go along. Sickness among four of the kings of Israel. You would think certainly kings would be exempt from sickness, but you see they were not. And the sickness came not in their youth, but in their old age. There are four of them. Rather than tell you a lot about one, I will tell you a little about several of them. And I think it will be better if I tell you about them one at a time, and as time allows, see how we progress. So in 2 Samuel 12, the first king is King Solomon. Look at verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, for the Lord's sake. David's son, Solomon, the Lord loved him. A remarkable statement. Now, let's turn to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. And look at verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own city, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Now, two references. First, the Lord loved Solomon. Now, Solomon loved the Lord. Let's turn to chapter 11 now. Chapter 11. Here is the sickness in old age. Verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women with the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon prayed unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Let's stop there. Speak to God again in prayer, and then continue. Now, Father, we are thankful that among men of station in life, whether they be kings, whether there be a religious station, a prophet, thou hast told us in thy word they were men of like passions. We have read of prophets like Elijah. We have read of priests like Aaron and Eli. And we have read of kings like Solomon. We see, our God, that all of them are men of like passion. And I thought that because of this we would fear. Fear lest we be drawn into the ways, not in our youth, but in our old age. And because of this, our God, let these scriptures come home to our hearts. We remember the warning that was given to thy servant Simon Peter. But our Father, he disregarded that warning. How could such a thing be possible, that one who loved you, our Father, could deny you? But he did. And our Father, we who think we stand would take heed lest we fall. So from these portions, simply the bringing them to mind, the simple facts about them, we pray our God that we shall be forewarned and that we shall be prepared into causing us to pray unto thee, because you are a very present help in time of trouble, and thou art the God whose strength is made perfect in weakness. So help us this night. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive, and empower lips and work upon the hearts of those who hear. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What I will have to do at the very first, because I may not tell you about all these kings, is to tell you why I bring these four kings together. Solomon, Asa, Jehoram, and Azariah. You say, why? With all the kings, there were 20 sovereigns in the kingdom of Judah. Why, of all these kings, would you pick out these four? It was not that I picked them out, but it was that God set them in prominence because of the sickness they had in their old age. And what is remarkable is that no two sicknesses were the same, but each sickness related to each king was distinct. All of them, in one sense, were spiritually sick, but what happens on some occasions is that with a spiritual sickness, there accompanies it a physical sickness as well. And that is the case of three of these four kings. So, first of all, the spiritual sickness occurred in the heart of Solomon. It says at the verse about his heart, that he had a good heart, a healthy heart, a heart characterized by love. In his old age, it said he had a heart disease, a heart that beat strongly for the Lord, was turned away from the Lord toward foreign women. So think of Solomon in his old age having heart disease. Now, Asa was a king, and three of these four kings were good. Most of their lives, they were good. But Asa was one whose heart is not mentioned as being sick, turned away from God, even though in his old age, he did stray from dependence upon God. But it says that in his old age, he was diseased in his feet, and he never recovered from it. You see, that's a remarkable thing, that God would speak about Solomon's heart and Asa's feet, yes. And the next king was Jehoram. He, of these four kings, was the one who was evil. Concerning Solomon and Asa and Azariah, they started out well, and then they became worse as their reign progressed. But when it came to Jehoram, he was evil from the first. I will read, as time allows, about this. And because of his wickedness, It says God gave him a disease of the bowels. You say, isn't that a remarkable thing? Heart? Feet? Bowels? Yes. And most of us remember Azariah. He is the one who is also called Uzziah. In the days of Uzziah the king. And I may mention that many of these kings were known by different names. If I said, who was the first king who had a name given to him personally by God, you would say, who? I would say, Solomon. And God gave him the name Jedediah, which means love of the Lord. So there are kings who have two names, and so when you read in the days of Uzziah the king, it's also talking about the days of Azariah the king. And it says concerning Azariah that he was diseased in his head with leprosy. So, this is the reason that I tell you about these four kings. They all come together because of some prominent disease that broke out in them in their old age. It does not have to be this way. I remember a man who lived to be 120 years old, and it says, his eye was not dim, and his natural strength abated until he was 120 years of age. And so, in the case of Moses, only when he misrepresented God, but God did not afflict him in the sense of giving some physical infirmity that he had to bear. He had a broken heart because he wanted to go into the promised land, and God said, no, you have misrepresented me before the people. You shall not go into the promised land. But I tell you that we do not, as God's children, in our old age, find it inevitable that we shall fail and become sick and depart from God. Because some, as Moses, never sick a day in his life. The nearest that he came to dying in his youth was when he had failed to circumcise his son, and God was minded to slay him. But after he escaped that, and after his other in subjection, and not obeying God by speaking to the rock the second time, the man was in health, he had strength, he had ability to see, until he was 120 years of age. Now, in talking about old age, understand that some of these things are to be expected. A person was speaking to me just recently saying, well, what do you think about old age? What do you think about the time when you are no longer young? I said, I think that it's the natural course in the life of man. My Paul said, though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. What do I think about getting old? About sickness coming? Why, if it does not come, this is a special thing. And you read in Ecclesiastes 12 about man becoming weaker and degenerate and less strong to live his life. All of his faculties are weakened, and so it's taking its course. If sin had not entered the world and death by sin, man would have remained in the dew of his youth, in prime, in his vigor. But with death also came diseases. And with that, even when we are healthy, still our natural force abates. And poor David had to find that out. David, as a young man, was able to go and fight giants. But having been fighting the battles against those who hated him and the nations round about Israel, he who had slain Goliath saw to slay also one of the sons of the giant. But when he went out, his strength failed, and his nephew, Abishai, came to his rescue. And had he not come to his rescue, then the son of the giant would have slain David. David should have known. But some of us are proud in thinking that we still have strength as we get old to fight giants, to do the same things we did in our youth. In this instance, his soldiers told him, "You are not going forth to battle any more, because if you do, the lamp of Israel shall be put out." And so David commanded his regiments through Joab, his general, and through the others, and he stayed in the background. And so for that reason, the things that we were able to do in our youth, if we find ourselves unable to do them in our old age, this is no exceptional thing. This is quite normal. If we are able to do the same in our old age as in our youth, then this is some special empowering from God, as in the case of Moses. But most of us, even like David, who in our youth could fight Goliath, we find out that the son of Goliath, a youthful one in comparison to his father, he is able to slay us. So, taking that to heart, let us be willing to surround ourselves with those who are young and have strength and skills that we had, but the skills as we get older dissipate and the cunning of our right hand goes away, and therefore we are to do other things. But the consolation about old age is this. It does not have to occur as it did in the case of Solomon. I promise you this. Instead of your heart, and I'm speaking spiritually now, instead of developing heart trouble, you will find that your heart can grow stronger as you go older. And not only stronger, but the love that you had for the Lord in your youth can grow, and you can say, "I love God more today than I did in my youth." Not many of us can say, "I'm as strong today as in my youth." And sad to say, not many of us are able to say, "And now my heart loves God more in my old age than in my youth." And the reason is this. God tells us what it is. He tells us in the case of Solomon, it was his love for many foreign women. You see, in Hebrews 12, it speaks about our besetting sin. And in the case of some of us, that besetting sin, if we be Solomon, and if we be Samson, that besetting sin is the lust of the flesh. And if we be Achan, who was a follower of Joshua, then our weakness and failure would be gold and clothing. And if it be in the case of Saul, it is preeminence that is our failure. Because what the downfall of Saul was, not only the offering, when he should not have offered, but when David went forth and fought battles, and they sang this song concerning David, "David, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." Saul said, "They are attributing to me 1,000, but they are attributing to David 10,000. And he wanted to kill him after that. And so for that reason, it may be that the lust of the flesh is your besetting sin. It may be that gold and clothing is your besetting sin. It may be that pride is your besetting sin. It makes no difference. In all of us, it is something. And Satan tests us to find out what it is. Not only in kings, but also in lesser ones as well. He tempts us not only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm as well. You would think, well, now that I'm married, or I have no concern about being tempted in the physical realm, it says in 1 Corinthians 7 that there must be an intelligent dwelling together of husband and wife. It says, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so he not only tempts those who do not have wives, but he tempts those who do have wives as well. And Satan is aware of these things. And the besetting sins, these are the things through which he tempts us. And in the case of Solomon, and this is something that is difficult, making allowances, because I am very afraid to criticize Peter, who would deny the Lord, and criticize Solomon, and criticize Achan, and the others because of their sin. Faith answereth to faith, and I've been warned in Galatians chapter 6, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one, in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so I do. But I would think this. If I had 700 wives and 300 concubines, I do not understand why I would have any need for other women. But evidently, as it says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear with hearing. So if there is that insatiable desire for the lust of the flesh, then the sad thing is that in the case of Solomon, it shows that no matter what God allows, and God condemns adultery, but God allowed polygamy at that time. There were 1,000 women upon whom he could satisfy the physical desires, and yet the one that he chose, and it was the same way with Samson. Samson, this is what is so sad. Samson would look at foreign women. When you read in the Bible, strange women, that is foreign women. And he would say to his parents, get that woman for me, for she pleases me well. And his parents would say, why not choose one of the daughters of the children of Israel? No, I want that woman. So, in the case of Solomon, he loved all of these women. Listen to them. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So I would think this. I would think that Solomon should be the one to turn their hearts to the true and living God. But God knows the weakness in the human heart, and so he says, do not join yourself to them. They will turn your heart away from me. And what God said concerning Solomon came to pass. And in his old age, his heart was turned away from serving the Lord. And as he had made a magnificent temple for the one true God of heaven, the Lord, then there were these other women that were not worshippers of the Lord God of Israel. And so they said, we want idols. We want memorable things built for our gods as well. And Solomon had his heart turned away from God. And so God, yes, he has the biggest memorial. But your God, Baal, your God, all these various gods, the wise turned his heart away, and Solomon, in his old age, developed heart disease. Then let me ask you this. Of the four diseases that I have mentioned, suppose God said, you may remain in perfect physical health, but I'm going to allow your heart spiritually to be afflicted. And you have that choice, or you could be diseased in your feet, in your bowels, leprosy, in your head, which one of these diseases would you prefer, would you choose for God to impose upon you? And I'm afraid that most of us would say, let me keep my health and let my heart be turned away. Isn't that a sad thing? Tell me, if we knew that our heart were going to be turned away from the one who loved us unto death, of whom it said, the Lord, having left his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And yet, I knew that God would allow me to have physical health and live length of days, but my heart was going to be turned away from him and inclined toward other gods, and I was not going to love him with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Would I rather have that affliction? Or would I rather be in poor health and have these loathsome sicknesses of these other kings? I'm afraid we might say, Lord, let me be spiritually taken away from you, but let no physical thing happen to me. But if I said, this physical thing will happen to you, and yet you will love God unto the end, would you choose then to have some physical affliction, not because of your sin, that this physical affliction to take you away that you might not have your heart to depart from the living God and your Savior? And alas, most of us could say, no, but I confess that I pray to God. I've read what Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and all of these other covetous charlatans that we see and hear about, all of these leading ecclesiastics, all of these religious leaders of the world. I've seen what happened to them in their old age, and I pray to God to destroy me before something like that would happen in my old age. And so, if God in his wisdom knows what shall happen to me in my old age, then let God take me home before it happens. Let it not be even like 1 Corinthians 11. What do I mean? Just this. There are some that persist in seeking to remember the Lord at the Lord's Supper, and God sends weakness. God sends sickness. And finally, he sends the sleep of death. But if this is going to happen, let God in his goodness bring that death before I slowly dishonor the Lord and the people of God look upon me and say, how could this be? I knew this man as a child, and as a child, he loved the Lord. I read that to you about Solomon. It said that Solomon loved the Lord, and Solomon prayed prayers that the Lord delighted in. But then it says that the Lord who had loved Solomon, and Solomon who had loved the Lord, in his old age, he loved many foreign women. So what does it mean? It means that if you loved the Lord yesterday, it does not mean that you're going to love him today. And that is what it says in Revelation chapter 2. I have somewhat against thee. What is it? You have left your first love. The way that you loved me at the first, you have left your first love. And what happens? Then, I hope it's not so gross as in the case of Solomon, that we cohabit with foreign women and we worship their gods, that we could be drawn into a false religion and worship those that deny all the sacred truths that we hold concerning the scriptures and the Father and salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see what happened to King Solomon. And so what we have to pray is that God shall preserve us, because it does not mean that if we love God in our youth, and it is recorded that God loved us, it does not mean that of necessity we will love God in our old age. Now that is frightening. I tell you that if you have eternal life, you will never perish. No one shall pluck you out of Christ's hand. But I also tell you this, that if you love the Lord yesterday, it does not mean that you're going to love him tomorrow. And if you do not love him tomorrow, though there will not be eternal consequences as to the lake of fire, there will be physical consequences in this life, as in the case of these kings of whom I told you. All right. Think of these scriptures, because it does not have to be. I told you that some of us can die with a perfect heart, a spiritual, healthy heart to the end. A heart that grows larger. That can happen to us. We all with unveiled face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, can be transformed from glory to glory into that same image. And so instead of being drawn away and my heart turned in a different direction, I can become more like the Lord. And in my old age, I can do more for the Lord than in my youth. I tell you this, I'm thinking of older ones who have been faithful to God, and if there were a great need in my life and I wanted someone to pray for me, to give me comfort, I do not think that I would go to the young, but I would go to these old ones, and I would let these old ones pray for me, because they have a life, an exemplary life that they have lived, and they have power to lay hold on God. So, what can David do in his old age? He can draw near to God. He can say that he loves the house of God. Listen to what David said. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You say, then my whole life long, I can dwell in the house of the Lord, the place of God's presence, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Yes, no one lives so old that that privilege is taken away from him. And I'm thinking of Simeon, and I'm thinking of Anna in their old age, and they were the ones that looked forward to the best at the end of their lives, whereas these kings had to look for the worst at the end of their lives. Simeon had been communing with God, and he had been informed by the Spirit of God that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is what his old age held for him. And at the same time, Anna, who departed not from the temple, she fasted. She was devoted wholeheartedly to God. And in her old age, over 100, the Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the temple, and Anna beheld the Christ that was died for her on the cross. Now that's the kind of, if I'm going to live to be over 100, may the best be yet ahead, and may I see more of Christ and have spiritual privileges in my old age that I have been enjoying along the way, greater and greater. But in our old age, there can be greater things still. And if I must go by way of death, it is appointed unto me once to die. I have besought the Lord to let me go the way of Stephen. If I have to go, it says in Acts, it said, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, if the Lord will take me early in life, but let me go with that vision of the Savior, I have no regrets. But to think that I might have to linger and be as Solomon, to be as Asa, to be as Jehoram, to be as a Uriah, to be diseased and out of fellowship with God in my old age. Who would want to live so long that communion was broken between you and your God? You say, no one spiritually in his right mind. Therefore, if we quote that scripture, "My times are in thy hand," then let us pray not, "O God, let me live longer, But Lord, let me live out the days in which I may glorify thy name, bear fruit. And the Bible speaks of those who bear fruit in their old age. And when the bearing of fruit ceases, and when the glorifying of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, ceases, and when I have served my generation, then lay me to rest, call me home, and let me go into the presence of my Savior, rather than be here when my Savior comes and be ashamed at his coming. This is a prayer that should be upon the heart of all of us. Let me live to be 120. Yes, if as Moses I can glorify God that long, if as Caleb I can fight giants that long, but not if I'm going to turn out to be a Solomon in his old age, diseased in the heart, an Asa in his old age, diseased in the feet, a Jehoram in his old age, diseased in his bowels, or Azariah in his old age, diseased with leprosy in the head. I say it would be better to die young in spiritual health. And there are so many more things I could tell you about kings and their diseases, but this is all I want to tell you. Beware of sickness in old age. It is unavoidable. It is avoidable if you live spiritually before God, and you can depart this world in spiritual health. And let us pray for that kind of departure rather than to experience sickness in old age. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, that it's possible that the Scripture could say that Solomon loved the Lord. The Scripture can say that concerning us. We love him because he first loved us. And the Scripture says that the Lord loved Solomon. And we rejoice that the Scripture says the same concerning us. My Father doth love you because you have loved me. And Father, we love the Lord Jesus because he died for our sins upon the cross. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And our Father, we love thy Son for that same reason, because he laid down his life for us. Christ also hath once suffered the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that is why we love him, our Father, because he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. And having begun to love him, we see all the other things of beauty in him. And if David could say, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So, our Father, that is how we want to spend our life, beholding the beauty of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So grant us that. May he become more precious to us, and may our hearts grow more and more in love toward you and toward one another. And let us in our old age die not in sickness, but in spiritual health. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.